Chapter 12. 'Twas as if his corpulent figure slopped with the shake of his walking when he stopped, and, though the night's pinch grew acute, he wore but a thin wind-thridded suit, yet well-shaped shoes for walking in, artistic beaver, cane gold-topped. "Alas, my friend," he said with a smile, "I am daily bound, 2 foot 10 mile wet, dry, or dark before I rest. 6 months to live my doctors give me as my prospect here, at best, unless I vamp my sturdiest." His voice was that of a man refined, a man, one well could feel, of mind, quite winning in its musical ease, but in mold maligned by some disease. And I asked again. But he shook his head. Then, as if more were due, he said, "A student was I of Schopenhauer, Kant, Hegel, and the fountain bower of the Muses too, knew my regard. But I fear me the grave gapes near me. ... Would I could this gross sheath discard, and rise an ethereal shape, unmarred. How I remember him, his short breath, his aspect, marked for early death, as he dropped into the night forever, one caught in his prime of high endeavor, from all philosophy soon, to sever through an unconscious trick of time. Who's in the next room? Who's in the next room? Who? I seem to see somebody in the dawning passing through, unknown to me. Nay, you saw not. He passed invisibly. Who's in the next room? Who? I seem to hear somebody muttering firm in a language new, that chills the ear. No, you catch not his tongue who has entered there. Who's in the next room? Who? I seem to feel his breath like a clammy draft, as if it drew from the polar wheel. No, none who breathes at all does the door conceal. Who's in the next room? Who? A figure wan with a message to one in there of something due? Shall I know him anon? Yea, and he brought such, and you'll know him anon. At a country fair, at a bygone western country fair, I saw a giant led by a dwarf with a red string like a long thin scarf. How much he was the stronger there the giant seemed unaware. And then I saw that the giant was blind, and the dwarf a shrewd-eyed little thing. The giant, mild, timid, obeyed the string, as if he had no independent mind, or will of any kind. Wherever the dwarf decided to go at his heels the other trotted meekly, perhaps I know not reproaching weakly, like one fate bade, that it must be so, whether he wished or no. Various sights in various climes I have seen, and more I may see yet, but that sight never shall I forget, and have thought it the sorriest of pantomimes, if once, 100 times. The Memorial Brass. 186. Why do you weep there, O sweet lady, why do you weep before that brass? I'm a mere student sketching the medieval, is some late death line there, alas? Your father's? ... Well, I'll pay the debt that paid ye. Oh man, oh must I tell? My husband's. And under his name I set mine, and my death. Its state left vacant till my heirs should fill it, stating me faithful till my last breath. Adam, that you are a widow wakes my wonder. Wait. For last month I remarried. And now I fear 'twas a deed amiss. We've just come home. And I am sick, and saddened at what the new one will say to this. And will he think, that I should have tarried? May add, surely, with no wish to harm him, that he's a temper, yes, I fear. And when he comes to church next Sunday morning, and sees that written, ... Oh dear, oh dear. Adam, I swear your beauty will disarm him. Her lovebirds. When I looked up at my lovebirds that Sunday afternoon, there was in their tiny tune a dying fetch like broken words. When I looked up at my lovebirds that Sunday afternoon. When he too, scanned the lovebirds on entering there that day, 'twas as if he had not to say of his long journey citywards. When he too, scanned the lovebirds, on entering there that day. And build the lovebirds, as twir in fond despair at the stress of silence, where had once been tones in tenor thirds, and build the lovebirds as twir in fond despair. Oh, his speech that chilled the lovebirds, and smote like death on me, as I learned what was to be, and knew my life was broken shirts. Oh, his speech that chilled the lovebirds and smote like death on me. Paying calls, I went by footpath and by style beyond where bustle ends, straight here a mile and there a mile and called upon some friends. On certain ones I had not seen for years past did I call, and then on others who had been the oldest friends of all. It was the time of midsummer, when they had used to roam, but now, though tempting was the air, I found them all at home. I spoke to one and other of them by mound, and stone and tree of things we had done ere days were dim, but they spoke not to me. The upper birch leaves, warm yellowy green and the blue serene, how they skip and sway on this autumn day. They cannot know what has happened below, that their boughs down there are already quite bare, that their own will be when a week has passed, for they jig as in glee to this very last. But no, there lies at times, in their tune a note that cries, what at first I fear I did not hear. Oh, we remember at each wind's hollow, though life holds, yet we go hence soon, for 'tis November, but that you follow you may forget. It never looks like summer, it never looks like summer here on Beanie by the sea. But though she saw its look as drear, summer it seemed to me. It never looks like summer now whatever weather's there, but ah, it can not anyhow, on Beanie or elsewhere. Bowes Castle, March 8, 1913. Everything comes, the house is bleak, and cold built, so new for me. All the winds upon the wold search it through for me. No screening trees abound, and the curious eyes around keep on view for me. My love, I am planting trees as a screen for you both from winds, and eyes that tease and peer in for you. Only wait till they have grown, no such bower will be known as I mean for you. Then I will bear it, love, and will wait, she said. So, with years, there grew a grove. Kill how great, she said. As you wished, dear? S, I see. But I'm dying, and for me 'tis too late, she said. The man with the past, there was merrymaking, when the first dart fell as a heralding, till grinned the fully bared thing, and froze like a spell. Innocent was she, innocent was I, too simple we. Before us we did not see, nearing, aught dry. I can tell it not now, it was long ago, and such things cow. But that is why and how two lives were so. Yes, the years matured, and the blows were three, that time ensured. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.